This is where normal comes to die. Mediocrity meets its final demise, and the status quo is unabashedly dismantled. Welcome to Reinvention Radio. Now, here's your host, Steve Ulscher.
All right, I totally have to timestamp this. So, it's June 4th, last night, my boys, not my children, my boys, the Blackhawks.
Oh.
My boys. I'm from Chicago.
Me too.
Can't get it out of the blood.
Yeah, yeah.
When did you leave Chicago?
Oh, I was tiny, like 3 or 4.
Oh, you were much smarter than my parents. Yeah. Okay, yeah. Well, you weren't. Well, technically, you could actually be smarter than my parents, but your parents were much smarter than mine. I don't resent a lot, but I resent that. So I hold that. That's like that's deep. That happened to me, not for me, Mary. That was like my parents keeping me in Chicago. That happened to me. I couldn't take personal responsibility for that. I couldn't move.
I have a sister and brother who are still living there. And once every couple of years, my sister tells me that she has to leave the hot water pipes, water running.
Yeah.
Otherwise the pipes will explode.
I have a screenshot on my phone right now that shows the, not the wind chill. We're just talking like temperature of 17 below.
You
Which
guys,
means nothing to you because you're
I'm
a Minnesota,
from Minnesota
girl. All right, yeah, I know. So go ahead.
So,
87
whiz,
below.
If I could have been living in the city of Chicago versus Minneapolis,
yeah,
I'd take Chicago.
Yeah, although Minneapolis is pretty nice now. They've done a lot to it.
It's nice.
But it's still fucking cold. So
yeah.
Can you swear?
You can, absolutely. See, it's internet
this
radio.
Is fucking thrilling.
Exactly.
Oh,
see,
we're
like
oh brother.
It's
two
like,
boys.
Yeah, more.
But
I mean, I probably won't do it again, but I just wanted to
just to get it out of the system.
It was like a rush. It was a little bit of a thrill.
So my boys were down 1-0 in the third.
I know.
And
scored two
in a minute 30. So ended up taking game one of the Stanley
Cup.
Does
sound a little bit like the Ducks.
You know, I'm glad Anaheim
lost.
Game
five or six.
Yeah, Anaheim did what they were supposed to do. They went to a certain point and then they lost. So, yeah. Okay.
Well,
here
I'm
we go.
Living here. A lot of people are fans of the Ducks, but I'm always a Blackhawks.
I mean, yeah. But wait a minute.
And the Bears.
You would be like shot if you went back home and you said those sort of things because you're a Minnesota girl. That's
then
not,
No.
No, still a Blackhawks fan. All right, I got
when the North Stars were there.
Wait, the North Stars are not there anymore?
In Minnesota?
Where'd they go?
They're like in Arizona or something ridiculous.
Oh, they became the Arizona Wild or whatever?
Something. I don't know what they
are.
But
yeah, the Coyote Dogs or the Minneapolis Saints.
Where have I been? See, all I do is follow them. I don't really care about the other cities and their teams.
I actually grew up as a Kings fan pre-Gretzky. And what they used to have at the Forum is $2 student tickets. And what that meant, because hockey is dead in Los Angeles, so at least it was back then, I would pull out the stuffing from the down jacket, the cheap down jacket that I had, and lined it with beers. And then me and friends would buy these $2 student passes and sit up in the rafters for the first period.
Nice.
But then after the first period and security left, you could sit on the glass for $2.
Really?
Oh wow, that's
cool. Because there was nobody there.
Pucks. No, it was nobody except for like a handful of people from Minnesota or Chicago or like a real hockey town.
Yeah, oh, that's funny.
Now then Gretzky showed up
and
whatever it was.
Killed it.
Right.
Oh yeah. Like
he was
82
just
or something like that. I don't remember exactly when.
Legend.
But you know, all of a sudden they're paying him $100 million and then all of a sudden everybody wanted to see the great Gretzky.
Which is scary because in hindsight, you know, you're like, man, at the time you're like, wow, that's a lot of money. Now you're like $100 million. That would be a pretty good deal for Gretzky nowadays. So we would take it. We'd take two Gretzkys for that kind of money. Okay. So
what are we talking about?
I know, right? We have to officially introduce you. I mean, you're chiming in, which is awesome, but at least people have to know who's here. So we've got Devin, and I'm totally going to butcher your name, but my associate, spelled it out phonetically for me. So it's Galladay.
Galladay.
Damn it. I'm going to punch. Well, I can't. No, technically.
You can't punch her.
No, I can't punch her. That would
even
be
in the air.
Right. Even like, like what?
Kelly, run.
Yeah, I know. We love Kelly. No, actually, I mean, Kelly would punch me back.
She would.
Kelly would be like, what? No, you didn't. And I'd get punched by Kelly. So that would be bad. But Devin, you're here, which is awesome.
Thank you.
And super cool to have you here. And I know we don't go way back, but it feels like we do because I've known your wife, Morgana, for a while, and it's a really interesting story. And Mary, I don't know how much you know about and there you go. See, you, like most of the listeners, know absolutely nothing, which is a great place to start. So why don't we do this? Because today we were going to kind of dig into the whole sort of reinventing marriage type of discussion and talk about two things. Number one, well, a lot of things, but number one, how marriage-minded women can find their man, because I know that's something that you have a lot of expertise in, so we can talk about that. But then I also want to talk about, you have a term for men in terms of their emotional...
sobriety.
Exactly.
Yeah, so I assume we can get to it all at some point. Are we still talking about hockey?
No, we're good. What do you mean by emotional sobriety?
Oh, you want to jump straight into that?
Sure, I want
to
hear this.
Okay, sweet. Emotional sobriety.
Well, I think it has to do with the notion. The first way I learned about it is that I have been more or less working with alcoholics and addicts for the last over 15 years.
Wow, okay.
And so that means that, to be quite frank with you, a lot of it is life and death. So
well,
it's not,
yeah.
You know, it's serious stuff. And really what happens is that when you take away the drugs and alcohol from drug addicts and alcoholics, you're just taking away their coping mechanism.
Mm-hmm.
And so the kinds of things that they're left with, and I'm left with, is pain, discomfort, lack, fear, and other emotional feelings of how do you live your life? I mean, I'll be frank with you. In the last 2 years I know of, I mean, I wasn't like, you know, real tight with these people, but I know of 7 people who either OD'd or killed themselves. So for them, it's a real serious thing. And so the emotional sobriety is about living life in a way that you're comfortable with.
Mm-hmm.
And so really what I have learned is that and this is again just sort of like my anecdotal evidence, is that I think we all are born with a sort of sensor, as it will, for what's right for us and what's wrong for us.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're young, I think it's easy to stay within that sensor because you're not asked to do much. But once you get older and you'll feel the pressure of life, you may be required to go outside of that sensor.
To get into things that you might normally say no to?
No, it could be anything. It could just be picking the wrong job.
Mm-hmm.
It could be marrying the person that your parents think is wonderful, but you just don't have that right connection with.
And that ties back to the emotional sobriety by making choices. How are you tying that back?
Well, in other words, when you start into a set of circumstances where you're not doing the kinds of things that you want to do with your life or with what you should be doing. As a matter of fact, you wrote a book, I think, to some degree about this.
Sure.
What is your what?
It's true.
And so the idea here is that the more you are spending time and avoiding the kinds of things that you should be doing, the more lack, pain, frustration, and discomfort you're going to be feeling in your daily life.
Mm-hmm.
That's the problem.
We all have that. I mean,
totally.
There's no one that's exempt from that general sort of way of being. I mean, that's right. I mean, you have found that people cope with it better, obviously, after being trained or counseled or whatever it might be. But, I mean, most of us have those issues almost every day of our lives in various ways.
Absolutely. Well, I would say as an example, emotional sobriety is like today, as an example, I put on this ridiculous shirt.
I love that shirt. It's
pink
shirt.
You know, to be quite honest with you, I refer to this lovingly as my douchebag shirt.
You know,
and here's why.
Wait, I don't know if you noticed, but on the back, like by the neck there in the back, it actually says douchebag on the back.
I did. Was it written in Mark's a lot? I did that myself.
Nice.
No, but so the idea for me is that when I was growing up, I was very judgmental in watching how other people lived their lives and went out of their way to self-promote and to put themselves out there.
Mm-hmm.
I judged it mostly because I was terrified of it.
Yeah.
Because it was debilitating.
So what were you saying? They were arrogant. They were conceited. These
were
people.
Well, I came up. Sure, I came up with justifications. I came up with the justification of Morgana's music was terrible, but yet she doesn't apologize for making us listen to it on the radio. This is sort of my insanity and some weird justification.
This actually sounds like something that just happened. Like maybe even on the way over. Maybe we're gonna drop
it. It could have. It could have. But my point is that it's this kind of shirt is a symbol of me. About putting myself out there, walking through fear, walking through discomfort to kind of get the things that I want in life to lead the best life possible.
Mm-hmm.
And so while I would agree with you that my point was is that sometimes these – when we go outside of our sort of line in the sand and feeling discomfort can be life or death for somebody like an addict.
Gotcha.
But it can also be really debilitating and misery-producing if you are not doing what you should be doing with your life. It can be incredibly painful avoiding the opportunities that are given to you. And so ultimately my goal is, and through spiritual solutions, I'm going to call that a combination of Kabbalah and several other, shall we say, mysticism schools. But the idea is to do as much as you can to move through those difficult moments in order to find the thing that you should be doing.
Yeah, and I'd actually want to talk about that because I was raised Jewish, and that whole Kabbalah, I don't understand it at all. I mean, really, I have no clue what it is. So after the break, let's dig into that a little bit. And then I also want to dig into the whole conversation around helping women, single women specifically, find love, marriage-minded women, help them get to that place where they're getting exactly what they want. And so let's talk about that after the break, and we'll be right back with more Reinvention Radio with Devin and Mary right after this.
One person has the power to change the world, impact millions of lives, and leave a legacy for lifetimes to come. That person is you. In the New York Times bestseller, What Is Your What?, Steve Ulcher, award-winning author and founder of the Reinvention Workshop, reveals his proven process that has helped thousands of men and women discover, share, and monetize the one thing they were born to do. Grab your free copy now at www.whatisyourwhat.com/free. That's www.whatisyourwhat.com/free.
Welcome back to Reinvention Radio. Here's Steve Ulcher.
And here he is. Yay. So.
Okay.
So, exactly. So, wait, Devin, we have to get this out on the table here. Mm-hmm. So, you met Morgana how long ago? A couple years ago or longer now?
3+ years, something like that.
Was it love at first sight?
No.
No. Was it hate at first sight?
No, but I shouldn't have answered so quickly.
Yeah. Morgana, really, I've got your back, lady.
No, you don't get it. I totally love her, and I work very hard at making sure she realizes that.
Just not at first. I got it.
Yeah, well, it was, you know, to be quite honest with you, there's a certain element where I have this very misguided notion of what it is that I think that I want. And I am wrong a lot. Like, I think $1 million will make me extra happy or solve all of my problems, and that's not really true.
You ever watch SpongeBob?
It would help me. Okay.
You ever watch SpongeBob?
Yeah, I love SpongeBob.
You ever see the episode where it's opposite day? So that's my wife and I quote SpongeBob like way too much. But they have this episode about opposite day, which is quite funny. I mean, it's. There is actually a tie in here. So the point being that, you know, whatever you would normally do, you do the opposite, right? So on whenever SpongeBob is like, you know, really loud, today he's quiet and out of the way, you know, and Squidward, who's, you know, always very quiet and annoyed, now he's Mr. Fun Guy. And anyway, the point only being that sometimes doing the opposite of what you think or you would normally do can lead to some pretty amazing dividends.
Well, and I would argue that's a great way to go. I mean, I think that we frequently, and when I say we, I really think I'm talking about everybody, like humanity, is that
You can speak for humanity. I give
great
you permission.
Generalizations.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. Now, if Liz was still
she
in here.
She would not like that.
Liz D'Alto was just our guest, and she was talking about how she does not get caught up in generalities. So we actually talked about that. But you have the full permission. Mary and I grant you permission.
Rock on.
To talk about all of humanity.
When I talk about all of humanity, I would say that the issues that I deal with may be similar to yours, but they're not going to be the exact
well,
same.
Well, we're both human.
So you can
yes.
still have your individual nonsense just as I can, but the sweeping generalization that we all have nonsense, I think, is a fairly reasonable conclusion.
I would agree.
I do.
Yeah, I think in this case, Liz might actually say yes to that as well, but
yeah.
we'll find out at another time.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. So, okay, so you didn't fall in love at first sight. It was one of those things where the relationship had to develop, and
yeah.
you guys got married for the first time when?
Well, I proposed while I was in South Africa on safari, and she was leading a retreat in Bali.
Whoa, and so you weren't even in the same place.
We weren't even in the same place. What was happening was I needed to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning in the darkness and literally have to be escorted because there were like lions around and you shouldn't be sort of.
Yeah, given the choices of walking in the dark with lions or not.
Right. So I was all of a sudden every morning I was waking up at, you know, in the middle of the night in order to have a 5-minute Skype session with her because she was operating on a different time zone
mm-hmm.
where she could talk with me for 5 minutes. So before she would continue to lead her retreat.
Yeah.
And there was this point where I just realized my behavior is telling me what's up. If I'm willing to consistently do this kind of behavior for this woman, I need to stop coming up with reasons of why she's not the right woman. And that's what I was doing. And I do it, you know, I think, again, I'm going to make a sweeping generalization. I think we all do these kinds of small little things unconsciously.
Oh, yeah.
Like, oh, she's, you know, she's not tall enough. So I'm not tall enough.
So that's like a defense mechanism that you think we all sort of kick in then in terms of looking. You know, I got to tell you, is there such a thing as an optimist? I mean, really, Mary, do you know those people that are like, fucking bubbly like all the time. Is that real?
Yeah.
Does that even exist? Because like for me, to Devin's point, I mean, like I'm looking at it and I'm going, yeah, that's where I would be too. I mean, I default to what is wrong as opposed to what is right. That's just my natural.
I think
natural,
that's human nature.
I think it may be human nature, but I don't think that's the goal.
Definitely not the goal.
It's
counterproductive.
Yeah. Right. It's counterproductive. And I guess what my larger point is that when I am not feeding that thing,
mm-hmm.
I lead a better, happier life, period.
Yeah, I mean, I think across the board we could all say that. Mm-hmm. So you looked at it, you made the choice, you said, if I'm doing this at 4 a.m.
And I'm doing it all the time and I'm jumping through hoops in order to have a 5-minute conversation, you know, 5,000, 15,000 miles away from this woman.
Yeah.
I need to
What is that telling me?
What is that telling me? That's telling me that I think that she's the right girl.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a lot of stuff. I mean, to be quite frank with you, I'd been married before.
Mm-hmm.
It was
to a lion, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
Lioness.
Yes, a lioness. And I think I just realized that it was time to take some different action. Do something other than what sort of my head was screaming at me to do, because there was always a part of me that was like, oh, you should just cut and run.
Yeah.
You should just get out of Dodge. And the truth of the matter is.
And it's safer. I mean, it's emotionally risky. I mean, you know, it's a risk whenever you put yourself out in any way.
Emotionally.
Two things can happen. Well, I guess a lot of things can happen, but you know, it's just like you can be shot down and either that affects your willingness to go back to the shooting range again, or whatever it is that you intended, you know, comes to pass. And then, you know, that builds up the victories. I mean, with my kids, I try to get them to have their small victories because, you know, those small victories build confidence. And ultimately, that confidence is going to enable them and empower them to do larger, if you will, and I'm doing the air quotes like
mm-hmm.
Liz
we
did
do
earlier.
That a lot
yeah.
here.
To do something larger, mm-hmm. right, in the future. So, how do you get people past the default, right, for a lot of people, which is the default of, oh, that's never going to work out. I shouldn't do it, especially, you know, marriage-minded women.
Mm-hmm.
and perhaps even more so marriage-minded women who have been married and divorced and now are looking at it like, if it didn't work out then, and for a lot of women, that was their dream wedding, right? I mean, that was the whole kit and caboodle, right? With the big reception, the, you know, the wedding party, you know, the fancy dresses and everything else. And it's like, okay, so that didn't work out. Why am I going to go back and put myself in that position again where things could, you know, blow up?
Well, because most people are going to begrudgingly walk into that fire anyway at some point. So you might as well start looking at the things that are holding you up from, A, being loved, but more importantly, what's holding you up from being loving.
Mm-hmm. And do you find a common theme? Do you work, because I know you work with a lot of different women, and mm-hmm. Morgana, don't take that the wrong way. But, you know, the point being that is there a, could you classify or kind of group these women in a certain way? Is there a certain theme that kind of runs through most of the women that you see? In other words, are you finding that they have been in a situation where perhaps it involved a past marriage, perhaps it involved a bad relationship, mm-hmm. or whatever it might be, and although they say they're marriage-minded at this point, they have kind of said, if I find him great and if I don't, then, you know, life will go on.
Yeah, I mean, you're obviously, this is sort of a complicated subject, but in short, I think a lot of marriage-minded women are looking for somebody outside of themselves to fix them.
Mm-hmm.
In much the way people who, you know, don't have money are under the belief system that getting a lot of it would just solve it all.
Mm-hmm.
And that's usually not the case. I mean, don't get me wrong, having a partner to walk into a party with somebody who loves you on your arm is a great thing, but that's not the entire relationship.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It would have been very easy for me to walk into a party with Morgana because she's a beautiful woman and say, oh, well, she's cute. That's good enough. But that's not really what the long-term goals of what, in my humble opinion, a real relationship is about. I think more often than not, you're going to get to a place where you're not just marrying the pretty face or the tight butt or something else. What you're really doing
bonus
is...
bonus if it has all the above.
Oh, listen, no one's complaining. No one's complaining. I think if you can get one of those, go get one.
Yeah.
But I think the issue here is that ultimately you're going to probably want to marry somebody that would be great to divorce. I know that sounds, huh? I know, I see the faces.
I didn't even know how to respond to that.
Yeah, I know, I feel the pained looks in your face. The truth of the matter is, if you could break up with somebody that you knew for a fact or had great confidence in, was going to treat you kindly and not get on the internet and call you names and abuse you and drag you through court and treat you like a scumbag and make you feel bad about yourself, that's the kind of person that probably has the kind of character and qualities that you're going to want to keep around.
Hmm. And, you know,
Have I horrified you both enough?
No, you haven't horrified me. Not at all. I mean, what I find interesting is obviously you have decided and become very clear that Morgana is the type of woman that you want to have around. And you've married her now 11 times or 12 times in 12 different countries.
We've actually been married 12 times. In different countries, but we've been married in general, 14 times.
14 times.
Right.
And it's just, you don't do like a full on ceremony and everything in all these different places, do you?
Well, when you say full on ceremony, are you talking about like hundreds of people and presents?
Are there any, is there anyone in, I mean, other than the minister or whoever, is there anyone present?
It really depends. I mean, to be quite honest with you, I'd say two or three of them were like us and a hotel receptionist.
Right.
Wow. You know what I mean?
Because you have to have a witness.
Absolutely. I mean, I would say each one we've always had a witness. Some of them we've had some pretty large audiences. When we got married in Slovenia, it was done by the mayor with the registrar
nice. And
some other diplomat wearing ruffles and feathers. And, you know, probably 100 Korean tourists.
Well,
wow.
And that would have been my preference, 100 Korean tourists. Absolutely. Because you would have got a lot of pictures,
right.
Which is awesome.
And
so,
we did get married with lots of
people. So we blew through that whole segment without without talking at all about Kabbalah.
Exactly.
I don't know how that happened.
We did talk about it.
We did? Oh, I just didn't know. Cool. Well, let's talk about it for sure in the next segment. See you right after the break.
You were born to do one amazing thing, but most people spend a lifetime trying to identify what it is. If you're at a job you don't like or are unemployed, if you're in a state of transition or just can't shake that nagging feeling that you were meant and made to do something extraordinary, the Reinvention Workshop is exactly what you need. Led by award-winning self-help author Steve Ulcher, the Reinvention Workshop will forever change your life. The Reinvention Workshop takes you step by step through Steve's proven formula that is help so many get on the right path and be clear about what they were born to do. Take the first step for realizing the life you deserve and desire by visiting TheReinventionWorkshop.com today. No more delays, no more denial. Reconnect with your true self. Learn to live with purpose and conviction and become who you were born to be. The world is waiting for you. What are you waiting for? Log on to TheReinventionWorkshop.com. That's TheReinventionWorkshop.com.
Welcome back to Reinvention Radio. Here's Steve Ulcher.
All right, welcome back to Reinvention Radio. And if you're just joining us, we are hanging out with Mary Goulet, of course, the lovely Mary Goulet.
Thank you.
My co-host extraordinaire. You rock.
Because I run the board.
Well, and you always have awesome things to say. And you're fun. And Devin, and do it again.
Galladay.
See, that's easy.
Right. Goulet why can say Galladay.
Why did she do that? I'm right. Yeah. Okay. Galladay. I got it. Absolutely.
Easy.
Okay.
Right?
So very easy. So before the break, we were talking about how many times you've married Morgana, which is just awesome and cool. But I also want to talk about, and you know, there's 100 things I could talk about with you, but this whole Kabbalah thing, I have to admit, first of all, how do you say it?
You know, I don't want to spend too much time on this, but there's kind of two forms, shall we say. One is part of the Western mysteries that came out of, you know, English snobbery in the 1890s by aristocrats who are looking to kind of do their understanding of Kabbalah, with the accent on the last syllable, tends to focus more on, shall we say, the Jewish, that sort of mysticism, as it were. Somebody who's over 40, studying with two kids, you know, there's certain parameters within that.
And Madonna.
I actually took classes with her 25
really?
Years ago.
Oh, did
yeah.
you really?
Yeah, yeah.
So I actually had, like, my wife had an interest in it. And then, like, once Madonna started doing her thing and talking about it, then she was like, oh, no, I'm fucking out of here. So, I mean, it's like.
Is that what she said?
It's pretty much. I mean, that's kind of how my wife is. She's like, oh, if it's mainstream, then I believe her quote is the masses are the asses. I think that's the, I think that's the exact quote she typically uses. But, so you've been practicing this or studying this or, is it a religion or is it just like a philosophy?
That's a great question. It's the why. In other words, there's reasons why you might wear a yarmulke. There's reasons why you might, for whatever reason, Kaparot, the holiday, is coming to my mind because that has some weird, almost ritual sacrifice attached to it. It's the why do you do these kinds of things? And so.
And this is written in scriptures, like an ancient text found in a cave somewhere.
Actually, that is exactly. That is exactly the story. There was a guy named Moses de Leon in the 13th century.
Of course
century.
He was named Moses. What
of
else would he be named?
And he theoretically claimed he claimed to have found some scriptures from the first century in a cave. How did you know? That's true.
Yeah.
Having said that, in all likelihood, he wrote these scriptures. That sort of like huge block of writing is called the Zohar.
That was a movie, right? That was
Isn't
Adam
that
Sandler. That was Adam Sandler's thing in a movie.
Oh, you're thinking of the Zohan.
Zohan, right?
Right.
Very good.
Yes.
I would have. Yeah.
Either a giant body of spiritual books, or Adam Sandler.
Exactly. That's what comes to mind for me. How have you found Kabbalah to be of benefit to you over the years? What do you take from it? And do you still study it?
Yeah, I still study it. I mean, to be quite honest with you, I love a little bit of mental masturbation. I love to bandy around thoughts and
ideas.
And
I just prefer the latter. So there we go.
Right. There you go.
Sorry,
Mary. Hashtag uncomfortable.
you get to be the lady in the room.
Oh, my Lord.
Right. And so what we were talking about earlier in terms of sort of like opposite day.
Yeah.
To some degree, that is a quite a bit of Kabbalah. It's doing these contrary actions, things that you wouldn't normally want to do because you're craving 10,000 cheeseburgers or a lifetime of internet porn. And so.
And sometimes both at the same time.
Right?
I can do that.
Oh, yeah. It's uncomfortable for me once again.
You guys just keep going.
So who knew we could have this conversation about spirituality
and insert porn at the same time? Yes.
Wait, is there like a hot chick eating a cheeseburger, studying the Kabbalah?
It's a Carl's Jr. commercial.
Naked. I guess it is technically Carl's
Jr. No, I'm sure it's happening somewhere.
Yeah, right? See, now that's a commercial I would watch. Marriage-minded women. How could they use some of those philosophies, teachings to get what they want?
Right. Well, one of the things that we were alluding to, and again, this is sort of a larger question because every person is sort of like a case-by-case basis to find out what their stuff is. But real shortly, when women are talking about being marriage-minded, they're usually looking for, when you start really having the conversation, they're really looking to have somebody fix them. If the guy does X, Y, and Z, that will help feed my ego. It will give me security. It will give me a sense of self. It'll give me whatever validation somebody...
He completes me.
Right. And we have 10 billion romantic comedies all waiting to sell you that idea.
By the way, Devin, you totally had me at hello.
I knew it.
Oh my gosh, I'm in like a parallel universe.
And by the way, it's the douchebag
shirt. It's the shirt.
The shirt was the thing that really sucked you in, so don't even pretend it wasn't.
Yeah. Okay, so let's go back. There are some women. Can we get down to business now? Because I'm a single. There are some women who have never been married. Mm-hmm. Don't have children, and I've always wondered what is the gig that, and they want to get married. They want to have a relationship. What is, from your experience, do you think kind of causes that?
Well, I think there's a lot of expectations that float around of what marriage is supposed to do and what somebody has to give up in order to get it. I think for a lot of people, really being in a committed, intimate relationship is a scary thing. Because, you know, one of the things that I've actually said to Morgana, you know, like when we're sharing our vows, is that a man offers the world two faces. One is the world, the mask that he wears sort mm-hmm. of on his day-to-day life, and one is the face that he wears for the woman that he loves. And for me to say that to her and offer that to her is a scary thing. And I can tell you that it's a scary thing for her to hear.
It's too intimate, too vulnerable?
Well, I think that's, of course it is. In other words, for me to say that, I have to cross my finger that she wants to do the same.
But a lot of people are going to say, shouldn't you just be the same person with your beloved as you are with the rest of the world?
I don't think so.
You don't think it's possible?
No,
I think it's possible.
I think that you don't go out into the world with your buddies and your business people and colleagues with that vulnerability that he's describing, that he's going to have just that specific relationship with her.
Absolutely.
I'm not talking about the obviously.
No, I'm not talking about that.
Yeah.
I'm talking about where he's toe-to-toe with her in an intimate way, emotionally, vulnerable, present.
Mm-hmm.
She's going to be the chief component in me working out my own nonsense.
And I know I can just hear folks out there, just their minds are buzzing right now. If you want to join us, feel free. It's 866-977-2346 and hit number one. Again, it's 866-977-2346, hit number one. Mary is just like, look at you. Go. I'm here.
So I had a conversation with a friend. And he has some little bit of marital discord going on, but he said to me.
In other words, he's married.
Yeah, exactly. He said, you know, men are pretty simple, and I've heard this before.
Mm-hmm.
Feed us.
Yes. Fuck us.
Pretty much.
Right.
And we're pretty good.
That's pretty much all it takes.
And you know what? I believe that that's, you know, you guys are pretty simple that way. I think where things come awry is when women are not like that. Women need to be fed emotionally, paid attention to, listened to without you solving the problems right away.
Yeah.
Just kind of being there in that softer part. And I think that some men just don't know how to get there. Do you know what I mean?
Is that why a lot of single women become lesbians?
Oh, geez.
Is that a survey question?
I mean, really, because men just, we hit a wall. I mean, we can only deliver so much in terms of the emotional needs.
I'm actually going to disagree perhaps with both of you.
Okay.
Sweet.
I think that...
It's our show.
It is. Get out of here. Just give me a monologue. Take a hike or something. I'll be good.
No, I'm... Okay, go ahead.
So what ends up happening is this. And again, this is just... what I've written about. As a matter of fact, I have an ebook that you can download for free today.
Where?
InTheKnowBride.com.
Okay.
And honestly, I just got some new technology to allow this ebook to just be freely downloaded. I haven't quite figured it out.
Thank you, Internet Profits Live.
Right?
Exactly.
Thank you, Internet Profits Live.
There
That's where
shameless
Steve
plug.
Met.
In the Know, by the way, KNOW.
That's right. It's about thinking.
Got it.
Right? And
Sweet.
Knowing. So where was I? So, what I write about, the sort of like the over-encompassing thing is that women, I would argue, are smarter. The more fairer sex, the more beautiful sex, the more nurturing sex, the sex that you are going to want on your team when you need to vent or cry or have somebody on your team.
Agreed.
Okay. So.
Thank you.
Right. And so the downfall, mm-hmm. or at least one of them, of women, and I say that for the women who have this issue.
I love that word. That, the downfall of women.
Yes, that's the downfall of women is that they think their men are as smart as they are. So I know women, when they have communications, they can lead trails of breadcrumbs. They can have conversations with subtext that are ingenious.
Yes, we can.
That's correct. But we don't do that. And we're not smart like you in that sense. So when you leave a trail of breadcrumbs and say, oh, he just doesn't love me enough.
He just didn't see the breadcrumbs.
That is correct.
It hit his shoe and it went under the sofa.
He will never see the trail of breadcrumbs under any circumstance.
Well, and then do you recognize this?
Mm-hmm.
Then she gets frustrated over time.
Yes.
And then she starts snipping and snapping at him and emasculating him.
And sleeping
Absolutely.
With a cable guy.
There you
right.
go.
Right. All of those possibilities are true. So what that means is women, and this is my advice, is ask for precisely what you want. And you have to think about precisely what it is that you want. Find out what the kinds of end goals that you're looking for to have in your life. And I guarantee you, even is sort of like, is kind of like loose and flip as Steve is being. And I get it. We're supposed to be entertaining
yeah.
and engaging. I totally get that.
Well,
but
you dropped the ball on that in the last three segments.
Right. No, but having said that, I guarantee. Oh, we already out of time.
Well, you got to get
a
cliffhanger.
No, hold that. That's a good right. Come back after the break.
Come back after the break.
Yeah, and we'll get Devin's guarantee
Don't
right
forget.
There.
That's the problem. He'll forget
exactly.
when we come back.
Be right back with Reinvention Radio. Right after this.
You were born to do one amazing thing, but most people spend a lifetime trying to identify what it is. If you're in a job you don't like or are unemployed, if you're in a state of transition or just can't shake that nagging feeling that you were meant and made to do something extraordinary, then the Reinvention Workshop is exactly what you need. Led by award-winning self-help author Steve Olscher, the Reinvention Workshop will forever change your life. The Reinvention Workshop takes you step-by-step through Steve's proven formula that has helped so many people get on the right path and clear about what they were born to do. Take the first step to realizing the life you deserve and desire by visiting thereinventionworkshop.com today. No more delays. No more denial. Reconnect with your true self. Learn to live with purpose and conviction and become who you were born to be. The world is waiting for you. What are you waiting for? Log on to thereinventionworkshop.com today. That's thereinventionworkshop.com.
Welcome back to Reinvention Radio. Here's Steve Olscher.
All right. Well, we left you hanging there after much fun discussion, and then Devin had a guarantee. And by the way, let's do this before I forget, because you know we're going to just blow through this segment, and we're not going to have a chance. So,
right.
First of all, it's Devin Galladay.
Galladay. G-A-L-A-U.
See, it only took me.
Goulet Galladay.
Exactly.
E-T. Yes, French, if you go back 500 years.
Devin Galladay. And you had a book about why women are smarter than men.
Absolutely.
And it's 25 pages of just pure brilliance.
Unbelievable genius. It's
and I'm surprised
really
it actually took you 25 pages to explain why women are smarter than men. Matter of fact, there was a book. I don't know if you saw it or not, right?
I know exactly
everything
what
you're
that
men say. Know about women, and it's like this big, thick book, and you open it up, and it's blank. The trees are crying over that one. Really, that's how our cousins sacrificed their lives. Okay, so before the break, you were talking about guarantees.
Oh yeah,
you
totally forgot about
absolutely
that.
Guarantee that
your man loves you and wants to be your hero. I guarantee you, if your wife comes up to you, Steve, and says, I need you to do this for me,
mm-hmm.
you will jump through a ring of fire if necessary.
It's
or
true.
She'll push you.
And she has. yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it's interesting because sometimes she does that without even saying it. Like, my wife, we will be driving, which we often do together, sometimes even in the same car. So when we're in the same car, she'll say things like, man, it's really cold in here. And I'll say, you know, hon, would you like me to turn up the heat a little bit? So I tease her all the time. And I'm just like, you know, hon, all you got to do is just say, hon, will you turn up the heat? I'm cold. But it's like that, like you're talking about, asking for precisely what it is that you want and being able to articulate that. And I think it's a lot harder than most of us think, and especially for women. I think it's a challenge, I think, for a lot of women to ask for precisely what it is that they want.
Well, absolutely. But I think we also have a culture set up for women where women sort of confide in each other. Like, I think it comes from, what's that show where the high fashion ladies meander?
Sex in the City?
That's it.
No. It's called Golden Girls.
Yeah, exactly.
Point
both.
Well taken. So I think what ends up happening is that women talk to other women who are all smarter than men and are only going to identify with their smartness rather than what the reality of having a relationship with a man is actually about. And so having clarity of what women want, I mean, to be quite honest with you, part of what I do is translate what you need to do in order to speak to the man that you love for problem solving and everything else. And the truth of the matter is you're better off coming and venting to somebody like me who's not emotionally invested in your nonsense
sure.
than going to the guy that you love and reading him the riot act because he failed to see the trail of breadcrumbs.
Well, and also when you go to the girlfriends and wherever two or more girls are gathered, it's a support group. And then you get her experiences.
Typically, this happens in the bathroom, by the way.
Yes, seriously. We have to. Dessert's coming.
Exactly.
We got to solve this in the ladies' room. So we end up taking on their experience, and it may be skewed for what's right for our guy and for ourselves and our relationship.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And don't get me wrong. I think I love women. I have dear, close female friends. And part of sometimes my job is just clarifying, no, that's not the way to get what you want from your man.
Mm-hmm.
And I think women are great for venting, but not necessarily getting advice about the man in your life. And that's if there's one thing, like if you have an older brother, a father, somebody that you can be close to who is not invested in your stuff, as it were, doesn't have to sort, oh, they're there, doesn't have to do that and can kind of give you a straight scoop, it's going to go a long way for you having a happier relationship rather than having your guy be the be-all, end-all for the male community on earth. Mm. It's too much pressure. And we, as strong as we are delicate little flowers.
Yeah, you guys are funny. You're just...
We're just as sensitive as the ladies, and sometimes
absolutely.
Even more so.
I think you're sensitive, but I don't think that you analyze things like we do.
I mean, that would be true. And, you know, I think that a lot of that has to do with making just a shit ton of mistakes, right? Because men are more willing, I think, in all honesty, to just do something and then look at it retrospectively and say, oh, man, yeah, that was not cool. Whereas women, I think, take a little bit more time to think about it and are a little more calculated in their assessment of what, you know, might be the end result. Men just jump. You know, and they just literally jump. Now, I just saw a study actually, which is kind of interesting, not about men jumping, but about how the whole societal movement among the folks in their 20s and even their 30s now is kind of running against the grain of marriage as a part of their lives altogether. I mean, the numbers are vastly decreasing, and certainly it has just been accelerating over the last decade or so. Are you finding that at some point women, especially some of the older women that you have seen who have been single for a while, do they just say, you know what, I'm not going to do it? I mean, what are you seeing as far as...
Here's the thing. Marriage is a construct that we've created. Trust me, I love getting married. I think it's great. My wife loves me because of it. And it's exciting and romantic and feeds her emotionally, and me too. But I think what ends up happening is that we have sort of made it a commercial thing. It's an expensive. It's now like $30,000 average price tag to get married in the U.S. without a honeymoon. That is ridiculous. But here's what will never go away, regardless of whatever happens with marriage, is that we are always going to crave human companionship. We're always going to crave intimacy. Mm-hmm. We're always going to look to sort of like our mate as somebody we want to be able to rely on. And I think as men, we choose somebody that we want to be a hero for.
Mm-hmm.
I like that.
I know, right?
I knew.
You would. So do you think that it's possible for a couple to stay together for decades? I mean, today with all of the various things that we have going on in our own lives and just, I mean, with the change of sort of the guard, if you will, with how relationships are treated. I mean, because, you know, relationships don't carry the same, what's the best way to put it? When you swipe and you decide you want to sleep with that person,
right?
You know, I mean, it's just like we're just commodities sort of to one another at this juncture. Do you see people who are in their 20s now getting married and being married for 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 years like our grandparents may have been?
I actually do. I mean, I think it's a choice. To be quite frank with you, I mean, I think we've been given technology which allows for us to swipe and send stupid photos and do all this sort of ridiculous things. But really, if you want a real relationship based on substance, based on love, based on service, because I think love is an action and that action is of service. A dear friend of mine always says that, and it for me, it always hits home because that's what I'm looking for.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking for a soft landing from another person, and I want that soft landing to be consistent, and I want it to be real.
Yeah.
And I think you can totally have that, but you have to choose to want it, and you have to choose to embody the things that you want to get.
All right. In the last minute here, and time just flies, but in the last minute here, what is one piece of advice that you would leave a married man with about the relationship with his woman and a married woman about the relationship with her man?
For women, I would absolutely find a guy to vent to and ultimately that you can listen to say, for the guy to say, oh, no.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah,
don't yell at him about these things. That's why you vent and then you learn to do better tools from that. In terms of men, listen to your woman. That means, yes, she should ask you more directly for the things that she wants, but also you have to take your personal feelings out of it. Mm-hmm. To listen to that she's not chastising you. What she wants is she's telling you she's not getting you from you what she needs.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, from my own personal experience, I can tell you that it's a dance, man, and it just ebbs and it flows.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I mean, that's how you got to look at it. Is I think, and perhaps you can speak to this as well. I mean, it is just simply a dance.
Yes, it is. Do you mind if I make a quick offer to your audience?
Go fast.
If you are looking for some help, feel free to reach out to me directly. I'm actually taking some direct calls, and I'm happy to help you for free, just so we can have a conversation and help you with your life.
Absolutely. And Mary, thanks for being here. Awesome show.
Awesome. Very good.
We'll be
back
with more Reinvention Radio the next time. Talk soon.
You just got dismantled.
Thanks for listening to Reinvention Radio. For more information about the show and your host, Steve Olscher, visit reinventionradio.com.